Just 5 years ago, using the term innovate or die branded you as a heretic or a lunatic, and yet now it is considered an accepted orthodoxy right across all types of government, private institutions, right up to the boards of our major companies. I work with those companies, and these are organisations who have no shortage of resources, they have the best staff around, they have great brands, great reach, and a huge degree of frustration about their ability to innovate at the pace they need to innovate to survive. So I've aimed my research at the deep black heart of why these organisations make the decisions they make that'll make them behave in that kind of way. And this is the governance practices, the lifeblood of how decisions are made. And to seek that in history, I've looked at the advent of the company. When you first had professional managers come on board, we had what the industry calls agency risk. Is the agent you've got working for themselves or for you? And the response to that was the creation of boards and fiduciary responsibility and financial governance and the whole stream of accounting practices and everything that entails in international standards and professional, et cetera, et cetera. The trouble with this is it is all backwards looking. It doesn't answer at all what I have termed the future fiduciary question, which is enabling boards to engage with the question, are we appropriately invested in our own future? Now, in an analogue to financial governance, there is a thing that I'm building here called innovation-aware governance. Get that governance to be aware of what is going on. And again, it is reliant on a whole range of practices that our organisations largely carry out but do not integrate and do not have any visibility or insight about. So who cares about this? There is a huge amount of impact in this and a huge array of stakeholders. For companies, it allows them to align all of their resources, efforts towards managed value creation. For investors, it allows them to pick which organisations are the most sustainably successful. I'm working with a group of investors representing some $800 billion worth of investment on an initiative to be able to measure which companies are most effective, and we believe that this will stimulate an additional $100 billion a year investment by Australian corporates in productivity, competitiveness, and export growth. This has huge impact. It is nothing less than trying to reframe the principles, practices, and cultures of our organisations to prepare the entire economic ecosystem for the future of volatility, complexity, and change.